Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Greetings to you. A wonderful, wonderful day to you. This is Brad Zockel, and you're listening to the Heaven Tour Ministry podcast called Questions About Heaven. My name's Brad Zockel, and listen, I really appreciate you joining me. We're continuing on in our Revelation edition of the Questions About Heaven podcast, and so I have been going through verse by verse. Oh, we're not sure how long. It's been a number of months here, going all the way through Revelation, and right now we're going to start today in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. This chapter is known as the apocalyptic chapter. You could actually call it the Armageddon chapter. And as we go into it, you're seeing the victory of Jesus Christ, and it's unequivocal. I mean, you're seeing here, it is a wonderful, wonderful passage of God's sovereign might, Jesus as God, winning the battle. And so I'll remind you once again, the word, the Greek word for revelation is apokalypsis, and it means the unveiling. It really does mean the uncovering, unveiling, the discovery. And so what is being unveiled? What is being revealed? Get it? Revelation, revelation. What's being revealed? Why, it's Jesus Christ. It's not what's going on. It's who is supreme. It's not how bad is the devastation. It's who is going to take control. And so we've seen that. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, a description of Jesus. His message, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3. John's step into heaven to see in Revelation chapter 4 to see Jesus on the throne, claiming the universe back, Revelation chapter 5. And on, the judgments from Revelation 6 through 19 on earth. And then we're going to see here the introduction of a new step in time as we go through 20 and 21. But in order for this to happen, we are reading that Jesus is taking control, total control, at the flashpoint of conflict, and that's going to be in the valley of Jezreel, the plain of Esdraelon, overlooked by the hill of Megiddo. Har is the Hebrew word for hill, Har Megiddo, Armageddon. So Armageddon is the place, and we're looking at this now, the description of Jesus. I want to thank you so much as we go into the next part of our ministry here. We're heading into the summertime through the spring, and I cannot begin to tell you how amazed I am at the Lord opening up doors, and many times the Lord has used you as a door for us to be able to enter in. So many dear friends have made it possible for me to travel to their area. I think of some dear friends that opened up the door for me to go to Grand Junction, Colorado in the end of April, or still others who had made it possible for me to go to Dayton, Texas and speak there in the Lone Star State. And it came from an individual who made an invitation and put feet to their words and said, listen, we want you to come here and we're going to make it happen. And this has happened again and again and again, from Salinas, California, on up to Easton, Maryland, and down to Bradenton, Florida. I'll be speaking on May 19th. What a wonderful time. Thank you so much for your help. I've really, really just been settled in the fact that as we see the Lord opening up doors, that I'm just going to wait and see if there are those that feel that there's a need for me to come. Then I'm waiting to hear from them, and then we make it happen. Boy, I hope that doesn't sound high-minded or self-serving or anything. It's not meant to be that way. But in the sense of pursuing places where maybe there is not an interest, we're seeing so much of an interest from other areas saying, please come. If someone makes it possible, then I'm going to make every effort to go, and it has really opened up the doors. My word, it's just been wonderful. This weekend, I'll be going back to Pennsylvania, back to the Keystone State on Sunday morning at Emmanuel Baptist Church, EMM, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Steve Cruz invites anybody around the area, as we had last year, had some friends on the different social media that listen in, podcasting, TikTok, YouTube, and they came and visited, and it really was a lot of fun. And so I just hope, you know, if it's possible for you to be able to join us, boy, that would be wonderful, on their morning and evening service. And so as we go through the month of March, I'll be taking a few weeks off to be with the family during spring break, then heading right back on the trail in April. And I'll be in Mississippi and Alabama starting off the weekend in April, and I'll tell you more about that. So if you'd like to follow us on our website, then go to theheaventour.com, theheaventour.com, and I would most like, just really like you to pray as I'm on the road. There is a travel map of where I'm going and a description of where I will be. And I just really hope that that's a possibility for you just to be a part of our prayer team as well. Sign up for our newsletter as well. Let's go into the scripture and let's go to Revelation 19, because that's what you'd like to study. And let's just do a good walkthrough in the scriptures here, looking at this passage. Revelation chapter 19 is where I'm reading. And as we go through here, there's been praise, there has been the setup of the conflict point here, but most of all, you're going to see in here, it's all Jesus, all right? Isn't that the way it is in our life, really? When we look at conflicts and everything, we can see the real estate, you know, the flashpoint of the conflict, we can see all of the rhetoric and those that might say things in threats, we can see the enemy there, but really, for the Christian, here on earth and on into eternity, it's always going to be Jesus first, right? So here we look. We have seen the description so far of all of the presentation of the power of God in the earlier verses in Jesus Christ. And now, continuing in this description of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 16, on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Not exactly a very romantic narrative there, but one of great victory and the humiliation of the enemy who would try to humiliate Christ. When we look at this, we see, first of all, here is the description when we go into Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. We see Basileus Basileon. This is King of Kings. You're doubling over this powerful, not just a king, but he is not just the head king. He is king over all. And then you see Kurios Kurion. You may remember in the Greek the word Kurios meaning Lord. And here it is, Lord of Lords. And when you see this, you're getting the idea of supremacy. When you go back to Psalm 136 and verse 3, you'll see an example of this. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And what you're seeing here is not just this is good or this one is better. He's the best. And he's over even those that might be considered near the best. And it just doesn't happen. A king over all kings. And when we see this, we have seen the dominance of Jesus here, that they, you know, we see the kings in Revelation 21, they will bring their glory in to the Lord. We'll talk about that in a couple of chapters here. We saw back in Revelation chapter 13, this one who decided to take over the chaotic world during the tribulation, having power. It says the beast coming up out of the sea, Revelation 13 and verse 1, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on those were blasphemous names. Well, every time you see horn in the Bible, it's talking about power. He has power over 10 kingdoms of power, 7 heads. This is supposed to be that he has all worldly wisdom. Could be the world empires here that are being represented on here. And so all of these are being taken over by the beast. But what happens here? Why, it's just a very simple thing. He's thrown into subjection, into incarceration here. This is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we see this, we're just reminded, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, we're not talking about Jesus the shepherd. We're not talking about Jesus who is just the teacher, not Jesus who is just very, very loving to people, especially to the little children, to come unto him, for such is the kingdom of the Lord. Not the one who is doing wonderful and dramatic things and puzzling the disciples and irritating the Pharisees. No, even more than that, even beyond the sacrifice on the cross. He is, as we see, known as the Lamb, but he is going to be supreme. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Because why? Here we go, same thing. Because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Now that's so powerful and so dramatic here that we see here. Here's a quick word of what's going to happen here, Revelation 19 and verse 17. Then we have one. Having stood, literally it's saying that angel is having stood in there. He is standing there in a way that he is in front of the sun, if you want to say this. Almost it like might be a shadow standing in the sun. So everybody can look up. I remember when we had that, when was that solar eclipse? Do you remember that? A number of years ago, and you had to wear the special glasses, and everybody's looking up and watching this all over, right? They're watching this because it's very easy to see the sun here. And so this is the same thing. Here is the center of attention here, the one standing there and making this announcement. The birds that fly in the midst of heaven, when we see this, up in a directly overhead, the call is for these birds to come over here. There is a supper. Now, we have the supper of the great God is being said here when it's talking about the God that is here who is going to be, obviously, the ruling and reigning and supreme. But you also have some translations that will take this word and put the word great in front of supper, a massive supper. So some translations say supper of the great God, and ESV, which I read to you earlier, it said the great supper of the God. Well, when you look at this, deipnon is the Greek word here. When it talks about, we see supper. I mean, I want you to think about this later on. Revelation 19:9, we're talking about the same thing of feasting, okay? But when we see this, we see here, there are two totally different poles of understanding here. Revelation 19:9 of the supper, this fantastic supper, this feasting, is in honor and for the glory of God and the comfort and the joy and the love shown to the believers. Over here, these people are not going to the table to eat. If I can say this very delicately, but I can't, they are there to be eaten. Gather, birds gather for the great supper of God. Now, when we see this, I want to remind you, there is a very cryptic term in Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 and 28. For as the lightning, this is Jesus' own words in his second coming. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. I found this passage back, a prophetic passage, no doubt, when we go back into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, here's what happens against the rebellious, verse 26. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. Sounds very grotesque, but it's also letting know, isn't sin grotesque? Isn't rebellion grotesque? And we just see those that would say that they have nothing to worry about, and they are supreme, and they're their own God, they're their own center of the universe, and they're going to fail miserably. Revelation chapter 19, verse 18. What does it say? The flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of free and slaves, small and great. And when we're talking about this, we're talking about those in military leadership of great power. When we see this, mighty men as well. We talk about those that, you know, think about this too. Whenever we see this great passage, this always brings to mind when I look back early at the very beginning of the judgments, when you go back to Revelation chapter 6, what did it say? That those, Revelation chapter 6, all just in seeing God, the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man, when they saw the heavens opened, they hid themselves in the cave and among the rocks of the mountains. All of those phenomena, those supernatural events occurring, the massive earthquakes and all of these things have nothing to do to in comparison to seeing God and these great ones, kings, great men, commanders, rich, strong. They said to the rocks, something irrational, fall on us and hide us, flatten us so much that God wouldn't see us. Can you imagine that? That's what they're saying here. When we take a look at this, we take a look at this, the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains on here. And when we see the power of all of God, we're also reminded that the ending of the satanic forces is very humiliating, very humbling. Matter of fact, when Satan is bound, you'll remember this, when he is taken into the thousand-year captivity, it's an unnamed angel that just grabs him and throws him in. There's no dignity to this. He's just gone and everything. And this is a most horrible thing because the early the Jewish reader, the great thing is you think about it, Genesis 25, Genesis 35, for example, that you're going to, Abraham would die and be gathered to his father, gathered to his people, Isaac, gathered to his people, gathered to his fathers. You're going to be identified, and with your earthly existence, your bones would be gathered in, so you would be identified there. And then also for the believer, you would be gathered to your people and you would be recognized. Well, here there's anonymity. There's no burial. When the identification is taken off of these carcasses and there's nothing but bones bleaching out in days before DNA recognition and such, these are just a mass of bones being taken. And that was a horrible thing to the reader. I will die anonymously. No one will know who I am. Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you go against the Lord, think about it. Think of the comparison. How we are called a peculiar people. We are called a priestly a group. We have so many honors given, which we are very humbled as believers. We're going to sit, Revelation 3:21, with the Lord on the throne. We will be more us in heaven, Christian, than we are here. We will receive more recognition, power, glory, friendships, honor, communion with God, abilities, ways to glorify Him, all of these things, even more so, but not here. We are not made less, but these are the rebellious. They are taken here. Well, let me take a look at the time right now as we go and see how I'm doing on the time. So I want to be able to go into the next part about the rebellious. And so I see that I'm out of time right at this. I'm going to move in and talk about what happens to the satanic forces in our next podcast here. So until then, this is Brad. Lord willing, we'll meet soon as we continue our Revelation edition of the Questions About Heaven. Thank you so much, friends. And don't forget, go to our website, theheaventour.com, if you'd like to be part of our ministry, prayer team, anything like that. Find out what we're doing. I appreciate you so much. And if I'm on the road and you're in the area where I'm speaking, by all means, come on over. I've met so many of my dear friends through these times and want to continue to do so as the Lord allows. God bless you. Take care. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.